The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
It's called PAD, peripheral arterial disease, and if you've got chronic leg pain, it may be time to get tested. Learn more at demanddebora.org. Call 609-621-2080 to schedule a screening.
One of the best stories in Philly spring training camp this year was Brock Stassi's quest to make the big league roster after 6 years in the team's minor league system. That pursuit was ultimately successful. Stassi swung a sizzling bat all spring and played well at first base and in the outfield. 2 days before the Phillies left Florida, he had tears in his eyes as he got to speak the words he'd long dreamed of: "I'm finally a big leaguer." Stassi's baseball journey began near Sacramento, California. He grew up in a baseball family. His dad was a catcher in the Giants system and made it to AAA. His brother Max is also a catcher, and he's played parts of the last 4 seasons with the Houston Astros in the major leagues. Brock was a standout pitcher and outfielder at Nevada Reno. He was a good enough pitcher to be drafted by the Cleveland Indians in 2010. He returned to school for his senior year and was selected by the Phillies in the 33rd round of the 2011 draft. It's a long climb from the 33rd round to the big leagues. Brock Stassi joins me now to talk about his inspirational journey. Well, it's a beautiful spring day here at Citi Field in New York City, Queens. And I call this podcast At the Yard, and you're going to see why, because I'm sitting behind the backstop with Brock Stassi. And momentarily, we're going to be hearing jet airplanes take off from LaGuardia Airport, which is right next door. So I figured that would lend to the ambiance of the podcast. Anyway, Brock, thank you for being with me. And I think you might be the most popular athlete in Philadelphia now. what are these last, 3 weeks been like for you? Here comes our first airplane.
Yep. It's been a dream come true. You know, I didn't expect... Didn't expect all the positive feedback that I got from when I heard the news that I was breaking with the team. So it's been awesome.
And you came into camp this year, which was your second big league camp, and we talked early in camp, and kind of the first year was, I'm on the map. Second year, I'm here to win a job. And you did that. How personally satisfying was it, not only just to make the team, but to make the team the way you made the team by going out there and just absolutely obliterating the baseball for a month?
Yeah, it was awesome. That was my goal coming into spring, was, like you said, win one of the bench jobs. And to be able to accomplish that goal, it was awesome. So that night was special, but it's been, it's been a grind so far these first couple weeks. And I'm starting to feel acclimated. The at-bats are starting to get better, and starting to feel a little more comfortable in the batter's box.
Mm-hmm. My old friend John Vukovic, who you might have heard of, a longtime coach with the Phillies, mm-hmm. the late, great John Vukovic, also a Sacramento area guy like you, okay. played a long time in the big leagues, long time coach, but he was always, a reserve guy, utility guy, and he never knew he never had more than a 1 year contract. Mm-hmm. And, he used to tell me that the final 2 weeks of spring training, he'd wake up in the middle of the night seeing snakes. What was the final 2 weeks like for you when it's so close, you can almost touch it, but you're not really sure?
Yeah, it was kind of nerve-wracking. I tried not to – it's tough not to look into things like that, but I tried to just continue being myself and not worry about things, keep myself occupied by hanging out with friends and stuff like that off the field, and not trying to have too much downtime.
So no snakes at night?
No, I didn't have any dreams like that, really. But yeah, it was nerve-wracking that last week for sure, because there's three of us and there's two spots up for grabs, and they could go one way and do this, could go another way and do that. So It was exciting, and I'm happy the way it ended up.
Mm-hmm. Well, you said you had no dreams, but you did have dreams. Everybody dreams of being a major leaguer, and you know that when you got the news that day, you know, I was there. A bunch of us were there, reporters, and we're peppering you with questions, and you were very gracious to answer them. But I think everybody has seen that video, and you could just tell by looking at you how much it meant to you. And you know what struck me is I think baseball is a great family game, and you know, you called your mom and dad, and they're both working, and you couldn't get a hold of them. And then you had a good laugh about that. But what was the conversation like when you finally did get a hold of them?
Oh, they were just both so proud, you know. It was their second go-around with it, being Matt, my younger brother Max had been to the big leagues already, made his debut and stuff. So it was their second go-around, but they were both very emotional too, and they were very proud of all the work that I put in, and, you know, a dream that I had ever since I was a young kid came true.
Mm-hmm. Now, and you do come from a baseball family. Your dad played pro ball, right?
Mm-hmm.
Made it to Triple A.
Triple A with the Giants. Yep.
Catcher.
Catcher, yes.
And you probably would have been a catcher, but you're left-handed.
Yeah. I had to catch Max in Little League because he threw harder than everybody else, and nobody else could catch him. But I was used to playing with him in the backyard and stuff like that. So, I was the one who would strap on the gear and catch Max when he pitched.
Three boys.
Yeah, three boys. Younger brother Jake too.
I picture your household in the garage, a huge bucket of baseballs, some pearls, some beat up 10-year-old ripped baseballs, but every baseball family has a bucket in their garage.
Yeah, we did. We had a bucket full of balls, especially because my dad was a high school baseball coach, so we had all the equipment that we needed to play wiffle ball, tennis, baseball. I mean, we didn't just play baseball. It was a ton of sports, and when we were growing up, our mom actually let us have like the living room, I don't know, still to this day, where she just said, okay, this is your guys' area, do what you want. And there were holes in the wall, there were blood stains on the carpet because we played football in there, and there was a basketball hoop set up. So it was that was our kind of our sports arena right there in the living room.
That is my kind of family. I came from the same kind of family. Yeah. My father never got mad at a broken window as long as it was with a baseball or a hockey puck.
Okay.
And we used to beat the crap out of the living room and everything else as well.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I can identify that. What was it like playing for your dad at Yuba High School? Yuba City High School.
Yeah, Yuba City. Yeah. It was special, you know, because I kind of grew up down at the field at his practices, and when I was young, I idolized his varsity team, and you know, those guys were kind of my heroes when I was younger. And when I got to high school, I played for him my sophomore year, but it was really special my senior year. Max was a sophomore; he played varsity his freshman year, so we played together that year. But my senior year, at the end of the season, when the freshman season was over, our youngest brother Jake got brought up to the varsity team, so it was all three of us and our dad was coaching, so it was a special time. Jake got a couple at bats actually in his first at bat on the varsity team. He hit a homer, and
really,
that was a cool experience. Yeah,
man, I hope you got a nice picture of you four in uniform.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah. I mean, wow. Tell me about, you know, what it meant. What do you think? Your dad didn't make the big leagues.
Mm-hmm.
In a similar situation, Andrew Knapp's dad. Mm-hmm. Went to Triple A. What do you think it means to Mike Knapp and to Jim Stassi that their boys have gotten there?
Oh, they're probably both just so proud, you know. They've seen all the hard work and, you know, that we've put in and their help along the way, you know, those late night games in high school or even the summer league stuff and stuff like that. So they're definitely both very proud. I know that for a fact, and you know, they're each our biggest fans.
You said that you idolized the guys. You said you idolized the guys that played for your dad.
Yeah.
Did you hear from any of them when you made the Phillies opening day roster?
Oh, man. I heard from a lot of people. I'm sure there were a couple of them, mm-hmm. but, you know, there's a few that I keep in touch with. That I, you know, when I was bad boy and they were on the team and stuff like that. That was probably when I was in like sixth grade, fifth grade. So, yeah, that was cool. That was cool hearing from them, mm-hmm. for sure.
And I think a lot of people see you making the Phillies, and they could identify with your story in spring training, because it's a bit of an underdog story. But, you know, when I dig down into it, it's you're a ball player through and through. You were a tried and true, trained ball player. I mean, this guy was, you know, you were pitcher of the year in the WAC at Nevada Reno, mm-hmm. drafted twice. Mm-hmm. I mean, this didn't happen by accident.
I think people are calling me an underdog because of where I was drafted. But, you know, in my own eyes, I picture myself being a first rounder. And if you don't have that mindset going into it, that you're just as good as those guys that are drafted in the first round, then you're really not doing yourself any good even putting on a uniform, you know, if you don't believe that you're the best guy on the field when you step out there. So, people are probably saying it's an underdog story because of where I was picked. But like you said, you know, I had some accolades coming up in high school and college and stuff like that, but I didn't have that one tool that jumped out to a scout, you know, the monster power, can run really well, or has a good arm. It was just kind of, you know, the kid's a baseball player. He does some things okay. We'll see where it goes. Mm-hmm.
And you were actually drafted as a pitcher by the Indians after your junior year at Nevada mm-hmm. Reno, correct?
Yep.
Any thought to maybe signing then?
They drafted me as a pitcher, and I was having some shoulder problems at the end of that season. So I pitched pretty much the whole year with some shoulder impingement and inflammation, and got a bunch of cortisone shots. That summer I was playing in the Northwoods League, actually, with Jared Eichhoff. He was on my team.
And
I got drafted that summer, and I was playing outfield. Kevin Pillar was playing center field. I was playing right field. And I talked to the Indians, said, hey, you know, I'm out here in the Northwoods League playing summer ball. Not too sure if I want to pitch. Any chance you guys can come watch me hit? They said, no thanks. We're gonna pass on that. So, see you down the road.
Back to the Wolfpack.
Yeah, exactly. Went back home.
And then drafted in the 33rd round by the Phillies and tell the story, as we're not really sure, because that night you were drafted, you weren't sure.
No, yeah, it was actually during the morning, because I lived on the West Coast in California, and I was asleep. Max was home because he was playing for the Stockton Ports that year, and he had shoulder surgery, and they were letting him do his rehab at home. So he happened to be home that summer, and I was asleep, you know. Went to bed angry that night after day two of the draft, and then Max came in and woke me up, said, hey, you got drafted, and I was like, oh, nice, nice. So then it all started from there.
But didn't they initially think you were an outfielder or a first baseman, or you weren't really sure?
My dad was watching it on the computer online, and the Phillies initially said 33rd round pick, left-handed pitcher out of the University of Nevada. And my dad was like, oh no, because he knew I wanted to hit and play every day. And two picks went by, they came back on and said, oh, we want to change that pick to an outfielder. So he was ecstatic. I was happy that they believed in my bat. Ended up getting to Williamsport, opening my bag, and saw a first baseman glove in there that they'd given me, and they're like, yeah, you're gonna be playing first base. You know, that we had Altair was there, Kelly Dugan was there, and Kyrell Hudson, and they were three high school pretty high picks, young prospects that they wanted to get reps in the outfield. So I said, okay, that's fine, I'll go play first.
Had you played first before?
I played a couple times in college, but nothing.
So it was basically the first time.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, it was.
And then you're in the system a couple of years, and then, 2015 rolls around, and I remember that was the year you were the Eastern League MVP. Mm-hmm. You really tore it up over in Reading. And I had actually met you the following spring in big league camp. And the first time I ever met you, we had a nice interview, and you were saying that you actually went to camp in 15 not knowing if you were going to get out of camp, that maybe you get released.
Yeah, I knew there was a guy, a couple guys behind me that had good years in high A, and I knew they'd be in Reading, and I didn't have a very good year that year. I was, struggled with the bat towards the end of the year, and wasn't sure what my fate would be coming out of spring training. So, yeah, I wouldn't have been surprised if they would have let me go.
And one of the reasons you had that big year, you made that adjustment to your swing, a la Josh Donaldson. Give us a little, just a little taste of that. I always thought that was interesting.
Yeah, so I was never a big swing mechanics guy. I didn't really care what, I just worried about putting the barrel on the ball, you know. And that off season, after having a rough year, my brother, I lived with him. He was always swing mechanics. I was like, I think it's more mental, which, you know, having the combination of both is really what makes a guy successful. And so I said, you know what, fine, I'm going to listen to you. He got in touch with the guy that kind of revamped Donaldson's swing, a guy by the name of Bobby Tewksbury. And we got in touch with him, sent him some video. He voiced over, made some suggestions, and ended up clicking for me. And that's the swing I've been working with ever since.
And as a 33rd round draft pick, you're not going to get rich with that signing bonus. What was the signing bonus with the Phillies?
It was $1,000, and I lost 30% of it the first night I had it.
How did you do that?
At a casino in Connecticut, the Mohegan Sun, at a blackjack table.
You know, we're only about 2 hours from there.
I'm not going back there. Maybe I'll try and get my money back one day.
Did you get your degree at Nevada Reno?
Yeah, I did, yeah.
What was that in?
Education, secondary education. So fallback plan was always wanted to be a coach, maybe a D1 head coach was the ultimate goal. And if that didn't work out, then teach and coach high school baseball.
Well, major leagues have kind of gotten in the way, and you've earned it. You know, there's a guy who grew up in suburban Philadelphia. His name is Mike Piazza, and he was picked like
60-something, right?
Actually, I think it was the 63rd round, which they don't even have anymore. No. And, you know, I remember way back in 1994 talking to him in Clearwater, at the old ballpark in Clearwater. And, you know, he had really arrived. I think he was the rookie of the year in 93.
Okay.
But he was putting up – he'd become a star, a young star. And, you know, being a 63rd round pick, as he was, I said, do you feel like you've proved a lot of people wrong? And he said, no, I'm just trying to prove myself right.
Yeah.
Can you identify with that?
Oh, yeah. That's – I've never heard that. I really like that, actually, because I've always, you know – that just goes to show you how much he believed in himself, and that's really cool. I like that line. But me personally, I've always tried to prove people wrong. Like, people tell me I can't do something. People say, he's not going to make the roster. He's, you know, this and that. And I've always enjoyed proving people wrong. But you know, I'm not surprised that I'm here. Kind of, that's probably what Mike Piazza was feeling too. He's not surprised that he had the career that he had, or even that he made it there, because he always believed in himself. So that's very cool to hear.
Well, you had my favorite quote of the spring, and it was just simple and to the point, but it was really well done. You said, I'm finally a big leaguer.
Yeah.
And congratulations, and there's the Delta shuttle saying thank you as well.
Well, thanks, Jim. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Brock. I hope you enjoyed my chat with Brock Stassi as much as I did. I'm Jim Salisbury. Thanks for listening. And we'll catch you next time at the yard.
It's called PAD, peripheral arterial disease, and if you've got chronic leg pain, it may be time to get tested. Learn more at demanddebora.org. Call 609-621-2080 to schedule a screening.